Here in 2 Kings 7, we've got some types of us. These lepers, everyone was dying in the city, really. There was a chronic famine. It was absolutely awful. They were surrounded by their enemies. They were about to give up. People eating their own children and so forth. And lepers, of course, had no chance of survival. They were outside of society. They had to live outside the gate. They had absolutely nothing. Of course, they couldn't live literally outside the gate now because the gate was closed and they were surrounded by their enemies. And so they were absolutely in an awful situation. They had to rely on charity, what somebody might throw to them, and there was no food to be thrown to them. So they were desperate. And so they said one to another, let's go out there and surrender to the enemy, because if they kill us, well, so it is. We might as well die at their hands than literally die of starvation. You can imagine these people covered in sores, hadn't eaten for ages. Parts of their limbs would have fallen off. They would have been bleeding, covered in sores. Absolutely desperate. And so they go out and they find that, in fact, the enemy has fled because the Lord had made the army of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and horses, the noise of a great army, clearly the angel cherubim. And they thought that they had had the king of the Hittites and Egyptians hired to fight them, and so they'd fled. And they just left their horses and their donkeys and their horses just tied up as they were. That's how panicked they were. They fled for their life. So these desperate lepers come to the uttermost part of the camp. They went into a tent, they ate and drank, and they carried from there silver and gold and clothing and went and hid it. Presumably hid it in the earth somewhere. They came back, went into another tent, and they did the same. They went and hid the treasure. They found great treasure and went and hid it. And they said to one another, we don't do well. This day is a day of good tidings, literally a day of the gospel, and we hold our peace. And they felt they must come and tell others. Now, Matthew 13, verse 44. The Lord Jesus was the Word made flesh, and so he's always using Old Testament imagery in all his teaching. And he says that we are those who find great treasure of the gospel and hide it. It's the parable of the treasure hid in a field. Clearly, he must have had these people in mind. And he says, that's you. You found treasure, and you rejoice with huge joy, and you hide it. But of course, what these men do is to go and tell the other people with joyful urgency. This is a day of good tidings, a day of the gospel. We can't hold our peace. Now, this is the motivation for all our witness to the gospel. There is a joyful urgency about the message. And this much-debated word translated gospel, evangelion, this Greek word, this is really what it means. It is good news that has a joyful urgency to be passed on. And the joyful urgency is such that you will pass it on. And this is what makes people who are otherwise shy and rather nervous at contact with folks, socially awkward, it's what makes them able to talk to other people about the great good news of the gospel. And those who may be more socially able often don't do this because they haven't sensed this joyful urgency that I have found this and I want to share it with you. It's why people whom I hardly know contact me and send me pictures of their newborn baby as if I would be particularly interested. Well, I don't really know them. I'm happy for them, but how have they got the neck to, come to me online or whatever with all this news about their baby. Well, I understand that. I've had babies. I understand how you feel. Sure, you want to share that good news with everybody. You're getting married. Well, you want to tell everybody. That's why people use social media all the time to share their joys with the whole world, whether or not the whole world is particularly interested, perhaps, but all the same, they want to share that good news. That is a characteristic. Now, have we or have we not got this good news? Well, the good news is not knowledge about something, about the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus says, that treasure that these men found represents the kingdom of God. It is the joy that I shall be there, that it is mine. It is my personal treasure, and I want to share it with you. So, typically, in the environment in which I was brought up, before baptism, somebody was asked a set of questions. Things like, where will the kingdom of God be? Answer, on earth. When will it be established? When Jesus returns. Okay. And the person gave the right answers, and it was then judged that they believed the gospel of the kingdom of God, and they were asked as they stood in the water of baptism, do you believe the things about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus? Yes, you do. Okay, right, so I'll baptize you. And that is all, I suppose, fair enough in one sense. But to know those statements, to know those truths, is one thing. It is quite another to believe them, that this is true for me. And really, a confession of faith is just that, a confession of my faith, that I believe this, not that I know this, not that I understand it, but that this is true for me. Now, it's a lot harder to come to that point. It's one thing to know that Jesus died for my sins and is coming again to establish his kingdom on earth and I shall be saved. yeah, that's another thing. That I shall be there, that is different. See, there's a difference between understanding and knowledge and actual personalizing that. A confession of faith, do we believe the gospel, is saying, I believe I will be there. And that is more difficult and more demanding because if I am sure that by God's grace, if I die now, or if Jesus comes back now, I definitely by his grace alone will be there, well, that takes a whole grip on my life. This is no mere religion. This is no joining a denomination. This is something that radically and fundamentally is to grip every moment of my being, every part of my thinking, my attitudes to everything, my decisions. And life, in a sense, is a endless stream of sort of micro-level decisions. What I feel about myself, what I feel about God, what I feel about other people, all this is radically, radically impacted by my statement of belief, of faith, that I will be in God's kingdom, that I have found this great treasure, not this knowledge which makes me responsible and leaves me just at that, but this certainty that by God's grace I shall be there, that I shall be saved, that I shall live forever, that I have found this treasure and it is all mine and I have hidden it as my personal possession. And the point is, it was these desperate lepers who were taken by the Lord Jesus in the parable of the treasure hidden in a field and applied to us. You'll only get that buzz of joy and that ability to absolutely shamelessly, without any interest in your image or whatever, no airs about yourself, to go and tell other people about it. You'll only get that if you realize that you, for all your education, for all your career, for all your wealth, are represented by those desperate lepers, because that is who we are. That is who we were. And we, of all people, were the ones who were given this great message and who can shamelessly come into the city and say, believe me, this is a day of good news. And I absolutely have to share that gospel, that good news with you.